One. Oh, I didn't do a read. Hold on. Shit.
Oh. Yeah, we should do a read. Hold we should on. Actually have something. Otherwise, it's going to be and more on this episode of
Actually, you know
the morning.
You know what would be funny is if we winged it based on each line item. Coming up on TMS, let's talk about Alien Covenant.
Check, please.
hey, look what's on the next card.
Waiter, there's a man on my trunk.
Nice.
I don't know why I keep doing the waiter thing. I'm going to stop.
You're better at this than me. Woman says, these fries suck.
The Operation Dumbo Drop goes horribly wrong.
Nice. Lady likes Starbursts.
Steven Schleicher, major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Is he gonna wake up? Don't wake daddy. Is he gonna wake up? Don't wake daddy.
The game where you try to sneak into the kitchen without waking daddy. Land on a noise, it could be back to bed for you.
Don't wake daddy.
From Parker Brothers.
All day long I've been seeing that guy's weird face.
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for Monday, May 22nd, 2017. I'm Scott with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Just one of the many Brians here on the Frog Pants Network.
That's right. Collect them all.
I don't know. If I'm to rank the Brians, you're up there, dude. You're right up there in the top three. So,
well, thank goodness for that.
Well, who are the other two? We got Dunaway and who else? Maybe I'm thinking. Oh, Rushwood. Sure, he's a Brian.
Rushwood's a Brian, but what is he on the network? Nothing.
Nothing. He just comes in here and pisses me off once in a while.
He's like
with his movies.
Tangentially connected.
Yeah, he's part of the family.
Yes,
but we don't talk. We don't talk about him at family reunions.
Kind of like a weird cousin.
Yeah. Because when he shows up, sometimes his wiener's out.
Anyway.
Roe is a Brian, too. But
oh, yeah. But again, tangentially connected.
Tangential. Uh-huh.
I like the word tangential.
So out of two Brians, I'm glad I'm in the top three.
Yeah, you're number three, by the way, of the top three. No, that's not true. Brian's number one for me. Sorry, Dunaway. Hey, aww. Look at this. I really like him, too. You know what? You guys can share a seat.
You can't. It's exactly. It's like comparing your children.
Yeah.
You know?
Share a seat. Sit in each other's lap. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
We're here. We're doing it. We got a show to do. I'm energized because I ran this morning and I feel good from running.
Cool.
So running.
I
is
did
good.
The running man to the opening music, so I'm energized too.
Yeah, I made sure the camera was on during that because that's always a special moment. So I hope
it's
you guys
just
enjoy
that theme.
Yeah.
Something about that theme just makes me want to dance.
I like that. So we should tell Eric who made it. Eric Van Skyhawk is another one of his fine pieces of work. By the way, Eric, if you're listening, I think he's listening every day. Mm-hmm. You can make as many of those as you want. And if only to make him feel a little better about losing to me in Boggle with Friends so hard every day. He loses to me constantly. Once in a while, he'll pull out a win. But on the whole, Scott is the master, and I am kicking his trash.
There's a Boggle with Friends?
Oh, dude, it's so addictive.
Do you shake? Oh, please tell me you shake your mobile device to get the letters to...
No. You don't. I wish
you did. Do you get ads between each one that you have to click through?
Nope. Zero ads. The entire money thing is just if you want to buy extra stuff to get like power-ups during your run, like freezing the board when the timer runs out or suggesting a word you didn't know before or something like that.
I'm so installing this right now.
Oh my gosh.
Boom.
We need to play and see how I do because generally speaking, I've had a really good win rate. Like, for the most part, I kick my wife's butt. I have a few neighbors playing, kicking their butts. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling real cocky. So if there's anyone who can come and kick me off my stool, it's Brian Ibbett.
I'm taking you down, Johnson. Them's fighting words right there.
And I just started a game with Scott Kurtz today. He is called Zanga user number something something. It's a Zanga deal, but it's not annoying at all, and
that's
it's
cool.
Awesome. I love it. It's really good. Anyway, I play that like it's a daily routine in the morning. Usually on
go
the
through all your
sitting on the shitter.
Yeah,
and
shitter
then,
with friends
yeah.
is basically what what those games should all be called.
Do not look up shitter with friends on the internet. And then I like to play it at night before I go to bed. It's like a little cap things off, and every once in a while, someone will send me a chat, some stranger, and go, "I'm taking you down. You're going down." And I'll say, all right, you try to spell whippoorwill with a grid of letters. Good luck to you. And then I beat him. It's great. And it's good. It goes three rounds. You take turns, of course. And
Nice.
In the subsequent round, you get bonus points to bigger words and letters. If you use certain letters, you get more points. What's that called? It's like Scrabble. Whatever that is. Yeah. Whatever you call that. I don't know what you call that.
Triple word score. I don't know.
Yeah. But at its core, it is straight up Boggle, and it's mind-bogglingly good.
Mind-bogglingly good.
You can use that for free, Hasbro.
Sure. I'm sure nobody in their marketing department has ever thought of using the term mind-boggling.
Yeah, I doubt it. I'm sure it's never come up at a meeting. It's never occurred to any of them. I made it up. All right. Hey, we both saw Alien Covenant. We're not going to talk about a story here at all.
No, no.
Except to say, I thought it was cool, but I think they were trying to make two movies.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that, and I think I agree with you, because you do have your straight up alien movie. It's way more, it has way more connection to, or way more in common with the first Alien movie than it does with Prometheus.
See, and I came away slightly heavier on the other side. I felt like it was a lot more Prometheus and enough Alien to make me happy, but it felt, I don't know, it was probably half and half. But yeah. You know what that, it felt more like?
Like half of it is very, let me rephrase what I said earlier.
Yeah.
Half of it is very much like the first Alien movie. The other half is very much like Prometheus.
I agree. And it has, good acting, fine actors.
Oh, Fassbender's fantastic.
He's great. Here's the only thing I would say. It's like Ridley Scott said, you know what I really want to do? I want to take two of my classic films from 40 plus years ago. I want to take Alien and I want to take Blade Runner. And I want to mash them together. Mm. I want to play with Android brain AI thinking for itself ideas. And then I also want to play with aliens. And then I want to make one movie that's both of those things. And that's kind of what it is. Now, all of that being said, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was worth my money. I am not going to put it in the top two or three Alien movies.
No,
probably not. But I
think one, two, and three, and maybe not necessarily in that order. Maybe two, one, three is the
that's how I
the
do
order
it.
I would do.
Yeah, same. In fact, I'd put this, but I would put this ahead of four, and I would probably.
Oh, yeah.
I would put it ahead of Prometheus as well. So it's probably.
I would put Prometheus ahead of four. So I mean, I would. Four was okay, but four just felt like a formulaic any kind of monster movie. We just happen to have Sigourney Weaver, and we happen to have the rights to use the alien. I mean, even the big bad in Alien Resurrection didn't really look like a Geiger alien.
No, it looked more like a smoothed out, like this thing and this one Geigery as hell.
Yes.
Like everything
super
around
Geiger.
Yeah,
and you see so much Geiger everywhere else in the movie too. Like they borrowed heavily from the Geiger sketchbook. I mean, maybe even literally for this movie.
Yeah, like some of it felt straight across. By the way, I was really hoping you were going to say Geiger-esque so I could take a drink and you didn't do it.
Oh, sorry, yes. One of the things that I would recommend for people who haven't seen Covenant yet is to watch Prometheus again. We watched it a couple hours before we went and saw Covenant.
That's a good idea.
And it was a good reminder of the things that happened in there because I'd actually forgotten about some of the things you see at the end of Prometheus with all the vials, all the jars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that too. The couple we went with had done that. They had just finished Prometheus, and in the case of Laura, who's there with us, Lauren Zane is who we went with, just neighbor friends. She had never seen it at all until just a little bit before this one, so she was really fresh to it, and she really enjoyed it. I will say this: If your favorite part of Prometheus was dumb people making dumb decisions, you're going to love Alien Covenant.
Yeah. Okay, before you go any further, it looks like you got all super janky for me, like your audio was super robot-y, and then everybody just said the stream is down, although
look at that.
Refreshing seems to have fixed for everybody. I think you had a hiccup.
I must have, because we dropped a ton of frames, but now it looks like it's smooth again. So if you guys see anything weird, let me know.
Audio is still a little janky for me, but so the other thing, and I'm trying to figure out a way to talk about this. I don't think I think I can talk about it without spoiling it, but there was a very tropey death scene in Covenant that I felt was the wrong way to do it. Wrong way to do something.
Did it involve naked people?
It did.
Okay. I know.
It was very Jason Voorhees, in my opinion.
It was.
Especially coming off of Film Sack, where we were just talking about all that.
Yeah, tropey for sure. But I have to say, I got real energized anytime a classic alien moment happened. And there's something about a twitchy-faced, pissed-off alien xenomorph that is immediately familiar, scary, awesome, exhilarating. So there are great moments in this. You're not going to go into this and go, wow, they've done it. They've topped every alien movie in the franchise. They didn't do that. But they did make an entertaining, fun thing that is mostly a study of dumb people making dumb decisions.
although I got to say, you know who I really liked in this?
Who?
Was Danny McBride.
Oh, no. You know what? I went in thinking he was going to irritate me and they were going to overplay him. And you know what? Not at all. He was subtle. He was emotional. Like, he got it. Totally nailed it, I thought.
I could have sworn that going into this film that at some point we were going to hear him out of the line, oh, you're a xenomorph.
Yeah, or go, which way should we point the ship, Captain? Let's go eastbound and down. Yeah, you know what? 100% with you on that. He surprised me, and I'm glad that he did, because honestly, I don't know if I'd have felt the same way when I wasn't young. I was too young to care, but when Paul Reiser was in the second one, I probably, if I was more adult, would have gone, oh, Paul Reiser, he's like a stand-up comedian. What's he doing in this movie? And then I would have been pleasantly surprised there. But this is no Aliens. Nothing is. I mean, Aliens is such a classic. It redefined action movies and all that. But this is a good time. Go have fun. See Alien Covenant. Help Tom with his poor little movie
thing. You're not helping Tom. You're helping us.
Oh, wait. We own Alien this one? Covenant. Oh, Tom told me the other day I'm confused who owns what. What else do we own?
We own Alien Covenant.
Hey, everybody, go see Alien Covenant. Forget everything I said. It's the best Alien movie ever. It's never been better than now, and you owe it to yourselves. World could end tomorrow. You should go see the movie tonight.
We own King Arthur, Snatched, and Alien Covenant, all available in theaters right now. Go see all of them.
Some of them more briefly than others.
Go see King Arthur before it gets pulled out. For to be replaced for an ad for the concession stand.
So speaking of that, about going to movies and going on dates and whatever.
Yes, yes.
You ever been in a restaurant where they just straight up forget to bring your check? Like an hour goes by.
An hour.
Yeah, we had an hour.
I don't
know
if I've ever waited an hour. I think I've, gotten irritated and called somebody over, or even went to the front. You know, went to the hostess stand to say, we have not gotten our check and we've been waiting. And it probably 30 minutes is my extent to where I'll just say, I'm not waiting any longer. And they just lost their tip.
We had to do the same thing yesterday or that night that we went to the movie, except we were having great conversations, so the time flew. But it was an hour. And we were like, where is this guy? And he's running around doing stuff. I think, and it looked like he just straight up forgot us. So we had long eaten and it was fine, but so Zane got up and went over there and talked to him. And he says, okay, he's coming right over with our check. It was another 15 minutes before he brought us the check. And I kept thinking to myself, do you want us to dine and dash? Are you actually asking us to, us a window here or what?
They've done everything but draw an arrow on the floor for you to just say, follow this line.
Well, do not pay. Follow this line.
And do not look back. Yeah. Exactly.
So we ended up tipping him because the actual order taking, bringing us the food, checking on us right after that stuff, top notch. Way to go. Top of your class. No problem.
But it's still his role. It's still his job to bring you the bill.
I agree. He completely forgot the last
half.
So he
did not do a top notch. He delivered the food top notch and took your order top notch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the rest of it, he just failed.
Very bottom notch follow up.
Yeah, he has no finishing move. He's got no finishing move.
You should not have tipped him. Or at least if you tipped him, you should have tipped him.
You know what he was like? I got it.
All right.
See, we just watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation, so this is a good analogy. Yeah. You know the part where you beat him down, it's 2-0, it's the end of the match with this character, and then he starts wobbling and the screen goes a little dark and you get, finish him on the screen, right? Yeah. This would be like saying, finish him, and then just standing there, and if that never happens, you just stand there forever and you never fall down dead and Sub-Zero wins. You gotta give me some closure, man. Bring me a check so I can finish this out. Anyway, it was fine. We had some chicken, their wings, it was good. We had a good time. Mm-hmm. It was great to get out. They had babysitters for their smaller kids. My kids sat around playing Mario Kart and tending dogs, and I swear I can smell pee in a place there shouldn't be a pee smell.
And you hope it's dogs.
Yeah, I do. And also, everyone cross your fingers for Nick today. Today's the day where he finds out. It's the last day he can turn anything in for school stuff. Oh. So today we find out if he has any summer things he has to do.
You know what? It's a good life lesson if he has to give give up some of his summer to complete some stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that would better prep him for his senior year, so he's not so lazy.
Yes,
about his homework.
Not so lax. Yeah, that happened with the kid who's staying with us. The year he came to Nerdtacular to help out, Simon.
Yeah,
he actually had to report back and do check-in stuff with school, where he actually had to log on to a site with a webcam to show that he was there to do the homework.
Wow.
So he had to run back to the hotel room at the Snowbird at the Clip Clop and for like an hour and a half and work on schoolwork, checking in at the beginning and I think at the end with a webcam to show that he was doing it.
Wow. And then he has to show the work when he's done, right?
He has to submit it in, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know about the webcam thing. What if there's some weird, creepy teacher on the other side going, yeah, that's right, do your homework.
Whatever, you know, it's you know, it's better than saying, all right, I'm going to have somebody else do this, which you could still do. But it's, you know, if you're already going to the work of, like, showing up to be on the webcam so they can verify it's you, getting the assignment, doing the assignment, turning it in 90 minutes later with the webcam, it seems like that commits you to a role of just getting the work done as opposed to making somebody else do it for you.
Well, that makes sense to me. Good job, everybody who does that. Nick is hopefully okay today. If not, he will learn the dark lesson this
time. That's right.
So one final thing I wanted to mention, as our world leaders communicate with Sauron through the orb of light, here's what I wanted to tell you. The next card, we do these collectible cards. I don't have any arms reach here, but...
I don't have any. I don't have any handy either.
I gotta talk to Dave. I did talk to Dave. Send. Hey. He listens to Dave. Send Brian all this. Send him the cards. He wants to see him.
I'd like to see the cards.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. What's going on? What's the deal? So, anyways, Patreon subscribers at the levels where this is appropriate, you're getting new collectible cards like you do every month. Art collectible cards based on TMS. This month's Brian.
I love it.
Going out soon, it'll be what's done in May, but will be your June card.
Right.
Will have something to do with, I don't know.
I can definitely see why you like it.
We've got a card that commemorates her. So add it to your deck and collect them all. You got to get them all.
It's so great. I hope Larry Owen, who is the guy who actually recorded that video, I hope he's communicating with her to let her know how much she has become a meme on this show, a staple.
Yeah, she is a staple. She's like rice in Asia. Everyone loves her.
She's like, I can't. Swingline. That's what she's like.
Swingline? Wait, what's that? What's Swingline?
She's become such a staple, she should have Swingline.
Oh, Swingline, the brand. Got it. Red Stapler. That's my stapler. Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stay in the basement. Well, anyway, she's awesome, and because of her, we have a meme. It is now permanently ingrained in paper / high-quality card stuff, and it'll come out to you if you are a patron supporter at that level. And if all of this makes no sense to you, go to patreon.com/TMS and check it out for yourself.
Cool. And then it'll make slightly more sense.
Yeah, slightly, but only slightly.
Only slightly. It's maybe good. Not 100% sense, but slight.
But who gets that in life? Nobody is the answer.
Nobody.
We're going to call Daryl.
Okay.
We're going to play a little game with him. We're going to get his feelings on a certain something-something. That all begins here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is... Oh, that's not working right. Hold on a sec. Play that again. There you go, buddy. All right. Hey, it's Daryl Skills, everybody, on the phone. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Are you ready to be stumped?
I am ready.
I've got something for you first. So, Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yeah.
Following that very carefully, obviously, so are you, obviously. We had the trailer. We were supposed to talk Thursday. We had no AM show, so we didn't. So now I want to talk about it. The trailer came out. CeeLo Green in his gold paint is playing the role of a Klingon. Just kidding. I don't know what's going on there. Did I say green paint? I meant gold paint. Anyway, I don't know what I said. Maybe I said CeeLo Gold and he had green paint. Anyway, whatever. The green and gold are messing me up. Anyway, so that came out. You got your captains and your supporting crews and your whatnots. Michelle Yeoh is the captain. The ship's the Shenzhou. Lady Pants from Walking Dead there. She's your main lady. I think her name's Michael, which is weird. I don't know too many ladies named Michael. Do you guys know ladies named Michael?
Yeah, Michael Steele from the Bengals.
Oh, well, that's a lady?
Oh,
that's wow. A lady.
I thought, yeah. I thought... No, I knew the Bengals were all ladies, but I thought she was I thought it was Michelle for some reason for a long time.
It's not. No, it's Michael Steele.
Okay. So I guess that happens. Yeah. Anyway, there's...
And then there's the director of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, who's a dude named Michelle.
Oh, right. Well, that I've heard because, like,
Gondry.
French dudes are always Michelle, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Not always, but...
Michel Gondry.
They are often Michelles. Anyway, so there's all that, and it looked good, like, you know... Effects look nice. Ships looked okay. I know you don't like the ship, but
I hate that.
Yeah,
so, I hope it crashes in the first 10 seconds.
So let's so let's go deep into that for a second. Let's just get your impressions first. Let's start with the ship. Ship matters. Ship's a character in these movies. By the way, it is not the Discovery. In fact, I don't think there is a ship called the Discovery in this. They're just out discovering shit, right? Isn't that the deal?
Oh, really?
It's Discovery.
Yeah, I thought he said that...
I thought it was called the Shenzhou.
I don't know how much of this I'm, like, confusing with the Orville, because it's funny. It seems like you could intermix some of the the conversations and get Seth MacFarlane saying he's going to be flying the Discovery and...
Well, it says right here...
On a five-year mission.
It says right here, it's the Shenzhou, but do they change ships?
Well, there's... Yes, they do.
Oh.
There's two ships.
All right, which ship are you looking at then?
The Discovery.
Okay.
It's from that the first little teaser thingy that came out months ago.
Okay, so there is a USS Discovery. Oh, right, now I remember it did. This threw me off because all of the promotional material for the trailer kept talking about the Shenzhou. I'm like, well, that isn't called Discovery. Weird. I thought it was just... So then I just assumed, well, it's like, you know, Voyager had the advantage of they named the ship Voyager, but also they were going to voyage way out in the middle of nowhere, right? So they kind of had a double meaning.
Yeah.
So I guess Discovery gets to do that too, but it seemed for a hot second they weren't going to name the ship that. So I'm glad you've clarified. All right, so the ship.
This is why we bring you.
Yeah. The ship is ugly then. You don't like it?
No.
Why? What's wrong with it? I think it looked fine. What's wrong with it?
Well, it's fine except for that big triangle butt it has.
triangle butt.
Hold on, let me look at this. Oh yeah, you don't like that spread out deal.
Fanfare.
All right, chat room, I'll show you so you can see what we're talking about.
What design school did that guy go to? That's just terrible.
I have to pull that thing up myself. Oh yeah, okay, where the nacelles basically are on a little triangle. It's a triangle with a circle at the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they haven't refined the ships. This is, you know, pre-Kirk, right? I don't know. The Kirk one's pretty stupid, too.
That ship's based on a... No, it's not. That ship's based on a sketch from 1974 from the series that they never made. The Star Trek... what was it? Started with a P or something.
Star Trek poke in the butt. Oh, I found it. Starship Discovery was likely inspired by the... Hold on, I'm reading the link here. Inspired by a vintage concept art.
Yeah.
Star Trek Planet of the Titans.
Was that Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Mm. Dude, I want to see Planet of the Titans. That sounds great.
Kind of does sound good, doesn't it?
Whatever the hell that is. All right, well, whatever. I kind of agree.
I'm okay with it. It's funny because it doesn't feel like a natural progression from that one to the Enterprise that we know and love. And I'm trying to remember what the Enterprise looked like on the show Enterprise.
Yeah, it was
It was kind of similar to the Shenzhou.
Enterprise.
Very similar.
Star Trek.
Oh, where the nacelles were above the saucer section, right?
Yeah. Hold on.
They kind of always.
Well, they're always a little above it, but he means like right adjacent to it, like.
Oh yeah, yes, they always were. Yeah. Right. There's no hangy downy part underneath the saucer section.
It's got no danglers.
Yeah, it's got no danglers.
No dangler.
Oh, my. There's a cool one that's nothing on anything, and someone just drew this, and I want this ship in the Starfleet. You guys can't see this, but this is beautiful. Oh, man. All right. Well, whatever. Look, you're going to get used to it, because what matters is the crew, and they have to fly that piece of junk. It's fine.
Well, what matters is the writing.
You're right. I am depending on the writing and the stories and the feel and all that.
What do you think about the primal-looking, Vegas-looking Klingon guys? What do you think about those guys?
Oh, they're the JJ Klingons.
The JJ Klingons. What, are they?
Yeah, from the movie.
Oh, I didn't think they looked like anything I'd seen before. They looked weird.
They kind of have that JJ look.
their noses are all spread out weird and stuff. But you don't like this. You don't like this.
They're more lizardy than the Next Generation and after.
But wouldn't you?
Really, I guess it's the second movie, right? Third movie.
First movie.
Spock is where we.
I think first movie is where you see him because they remember the opening scene they explode. Yeah. So that's retrofitting in its own way. You know what I'm saying? Star Trek's got a long history of this. So everyone freaking out, going, "You can't make them like JJ ones." It's kind of like saying. I mean, where were those people in 1981 when they see this movie and go, "Ah, they look weird. They don't have foreheads like this."
Yeah, yeah. I'm of the opinion that I will totally forgive a franchise from showing something that looks newer in a prequel than it should because you've just got better technology, you've got better makeup. I can let that go. I can totally get past that.
Yeah. Although, you know what? I want to give some credit to Ridley Scott and that Alien Covenant movie for making the tech feel retro but new at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They did a great job on that, I thought. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
I kind of wish that this wasn't a prequel because then that would just take care of all that stuff automatically.
That would just fix your problems. All right. Well, there you go. Discovery. Catch it. This fall. Daryl's opinion is currently you're in waiting mode like the rest of us, but you really don't like that ship. That's kind of where you're at, right?
No, that's the only thing is the ship. I'll wait for the story and all that and hopefully that pulls like it will. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
I agree. Now, do you have a favorite ship of all Star Trek ships? Just curious.
Ooh.
And I don't just mean Enterprise, and not just Enterprise. Like throw them all in there. The Excelsior,
you could have the Romulan Warbird and the or the Klingon Warbird and the Romulan, whatever they call theirs.
Yeah, what was theirs called? Or no, Bird of Prey was Klingon.
Oh, Klingon Bird of Prey, right?
And the other ones were Warbirds Warbirds. Patrick Warburton.
Sure,
Patrick Warburton. Burden. Take a bite of the Denver.
Grab yourself a mouthful of the Enterprise.
Do you have a favorite, Daryl?
Oh, I don't know. I like the TNG Enterprise, and I like the original Enterprise.
Those two are your favorites. Okay.
I figure you've got to like the original because you're building one. You're building your own.
I like the TNG.
I'm building a second one.
Second one. That's right. Yes.
I like the TNG movie version of the Enterprise. I know a lot of people argue with me on that. I think the one in the TV show is too clean and CG'd and whatever. That was a thing of its time, but I think the movie ones are pretty rad. So I'll give
my favorite spaceship of the Treks was the Space Nut, the Deep Space Nine.
Oh, the Deep Space Nut.
That was my favorite of the spaceships.
I like the part where Luke Skywalker gets on it. All right. It's time to play a game. You guys know the rules. You got to be in the Discord, frogpants.com/Discord, which anybody can join, by the way. And you can join at any time you'd like. It's just right now is a good time for you to be in there because if you are a name in there, I'm going to pull you over and you're going to be part of today's trivia question. I'm going to pull this guy. Let me get in here and talk to him. Hold on a second. Hello, is this Mullets? Mullets. Earth calling Mullets.
Come in, Mullets.
You are currently showing you're showing yourself as muted, Mullets. You want to not be muted. I guess I could pull him out. Oh, no, he's there. Mullets, are you there? Hello?
How many mullets can you have at once?
I can't hear him, so I'm putting him back up. So now we're going to pull down William Madison.
Sorry, Mullets.
William Madison, are you there? Hello? Hello, William.
William?
William? Speak to me. Damn it, man.
Hello?
Oh, hi. Is this William? Can you hear us? Hello?
Please turn down your radio.
Don't listen to the radio. Listen to us. Goodbye, William. I'm putting in Xander. Xander, are you there? Hello? You know, this is working out great.
First time this has happened like this.
Yeah, it's weird. Last two calls we got this way, we're fine. All right.
This is why it's called Discord.
Yeah, Xander's no good. You know what? We're going to take an old favorite. Hi, Dice Tomato. You're muted, but you can be not muted if you want to be. It's Dice Tomato, everybody. Hello, Dice Tomato. Ian, I am Sci-Fi in the chat. Hello?
No, those are two
different
people.
Oh, no, those two different people. I'm getting them all mixed up. He left. This is going great. This is just what we wanted. All right, we'll try this guy. Slucko, are you there? Can you unmute yourself, please?
Oh, people are saying that so Xander said he could not hear us on Discord. Do you have audio going out via Discord?
I sure do.
Okay.
Do I?
Uh-oh.
Hold on a second. Gosh dang it. Did I screw that up? Input, voice. Hi, can you hear us? Hello?
Oh, that's the problem.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hi, can you hear us? Hello? Are you there? Why am I muted then?
Kalamazoo, Michigan. You're on the air.
This is the worst. Hold on a second. Oh, look, it's Brian Dunaway because I couldn't get anything else to work. What's going on? How are you?
Turn down your radio, sir.
Yes, I'm. Hold on a second. Let me.
Where are you? Are you at work? Are we bugging you at work or what?
No, of course not. Why would I be at work during the middle of the day, Scott?
It is 12:40. You at lunch?
Right. Yeah, I'm actually at lunch.
Oh, perfect timing then. All right. Well, because we just want to have some fun with you. We're going to ask you a trivia question, okay? If you win, we'll give you stuff. We got prizes we could do, Brian. We could send him things.
Yeah, why not?
Digging it down.
Yeah, it's our old pal Brian on the phone. That'll be good. All right. So, it feels like we've been at this for days, but Brian, can you tell them the rules and how it works? And
then I wish I could remember how this works. I don't know who we're going to be asking. We're still asking Daryl the question, right?
Yeah, still Daryl. Brian's our contestant. If he wins, he gets prizes. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer is not going to be NCC-1701D, but it is going to be a number. And he's going to answer. Then we're going to turn to you, Brian Dunaway, if that is your real name, and ask you if the correct answer is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, do I answer now?
No, not yet. Wait for your topic.
then we're going to ask you if the actual answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you will win a Transformers t-shirt and a Joker print.
Whoa.
Nice.
Hell of a deal there.
Yes. Drawn by Kalman, K-A-L-M-A-N.
Kalman. I have no idea.
It's really cool. Yeah. Really cool drawing.
Yeah, you'll like that.
Your topic today is avian. You're
what?
This is literally the worst Stump Daryl segment we've ever made. It's birds.
Actually, I wrote this question. I'm really happy with
it. Oh, you
it.
Did? Oh, all right.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to make fun of it yet because it's probably really good. Here's your question really then. So Brian, Daryl, we're asking you. You're going to tell us the number. And then if it's wrong or right, then Brian's going to say if it's wrong or right. So here you go. Many birds died in Galveston. Never forget. This is in Texas a couple of weeks ago. The birds flew into
May 5th.
Was it May 5th? Yes. Oh, wow. Never remember the 5th of May.
Cinco de Mayo.
The birds flew into a building after becoming disoriented. How many birds crashed into the building? I'll give you a hint, Daryl. You want a hint? I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Somewhere between 20 and 1,000. A nice broad range for you there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear about this, so I have no clue.
This was in the news, ripped from May 5th's headlines.
Yes, ripped from a couple of weeks ago headlines.
Okay. What something's going on in the background?
It's just Brian. He's wrestling with his.
Sorry, am I too loud?
Yeah, but it's fine. I kind of like it. It made me want to go to sleep or something. It was like a brown note. No, go a little higher. A little higher. Yeah, you're fine there. You're good. Listen, it's all... Okay. It's the internet. We do what we can. All right, go ahead there, Daryl.
True.
Let's see. How many birds could go nuts at one time and fly into a building?
Well, it depends.
I'm going to say less than 500, because that would just be... Well, what made them fly into the building? Do I get more news?
They became disoriented.
Yeah. They were in Galveston, Texas, and they went, why are we in this shit town? And then they slammed into a building. They tried to end it all.
Their brains didn't get microwaved or something? Or they flew into a poison cloud?
It's kind of a mysterious thing. They're migratory birds, and they ran into the side of a building in Galveston.
I would like to apologize to the fine people of Galveston, Texas, who might be listening. I do not think you live in a shit town, okay?
Also, I'm changing this number because...
did you get more?
Slightly.
Oh, look at this. In real time, we're changing the answer.
The answer is moving.
Can we tell Daryl if it went up or down?
No.
Okay.
Hell no.
All right. I tried, Daryl. I tried.
The bird count has changed.
That's right.
I'm.
I can tell you it's still in the range I gave you.
Potentially okay. Storms. Bad weather and bright lights is what the Houston Audubon Society is saying, is what they're blaming on. Even though this took place in Galveston.
My favorite Jimmy Buffett.
Houston Audubon Society.
It's my favorite Jimmy Buffett song. Bad storms, bright lights. So good. Man, they don't play that one enough. It's always that damn margarita song. But
that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm living in bad storms and bright lights. Drinking my tequila and ice is nice.
See?
I'm
telling you. You got it. It's a classic.
I could write this thing.
You just totally could. Jimmy Buffett, eat your margarita out. Or whatever.
That's right. Oh.
Yeah, that didn't sound right. Daryl, go ahead. What do you think? What's your number?
How did they count these birds? Did they crash and then they dropped to the ground and they counted them on the ground? Or was some of them still stuck to the windows?
No, it's exactly right.
They collected them from the ground.
Someone's
mostly
job.
Mostly warblers and orioles.
Oh, all right.
One, ew, two, ew.
And three,
I'm gonna say 200... Oh, if they were little, there were probably lots of them. So 250.
250 is your answer. Brian, is that the correct answer?
250 is incorrect. Mr. Dunaway, is the correct answer higher or lower than 250?
Interesting. So we've got birds flying into objects. I'm going to go with... I really want this Transformer shirt. So...
It's XL, and I know you're a slim dude now.
Yeah, you're skinny.
Yeah, I don't want to jerk around, so I want to make sure I get this right. I'm going to go with, that's a lot of damn birds, 250.
Yeah.
But you know, birds are stupid, and I'm going lower.
Lower?
I'm going lower.
All right, lower than 250. Let's find out if that is the correct answer. Judges, is it?
Oh no.
It's not right. It's more. 398 birds flew into a building and died. Josh Henderson counted the birds by hand. Did you see a sign that said dead bird storage, says the answer here? Oh, I get it.
Yeah, you're thinking fiction reference.
Yeah, nice job. There you go. Brian Dunaway lost, but he's always a winner with us because he's on Film Sack, which you can find a brand new episode we just put out yesterday about Nightmare on Elm Street. Totally worth listening to.
That's right.
And he's also on me on the Boop Show. He's with me on the Boop Show.
I'm on Scott on the Boop Show.
Every Saturday, we record anywhere between a half an hour of video game news and views, which is a good time over there at frogpants.com/boop. Brian, thanks for playing and terrible job on winning. You did a
If Freddy Krueger was involved in this, he would have said, "Fly the friendly skies, bitch."
You guys should listen to that episode because Brian does a killer Freddy Krueger. All right, Daryl. Well, this mess has been great. Why don't you share with us a game of your... Oh, wait. Before I do that, he's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And now he'll play a game with us of his own making called what?
Hi, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube as you complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right. You could say anything at this point, and it would be better than what is going on. So go ahead. It doesn't matter at this point. What do you got?
Okay. Goo is coming out of my blank.
Ew.
Oh. Didn't we do this?
No, we did something similar.
Oh, okay. Because it was testicles, right? It was like blood was coming out of my testicles or something.
Yeah, that was blood. This is goo.
Okay,
goo. Goo is coming out of my eye.
That's pretty good. That's like a conjunctivitis thing. I'm going to say goo. Oh, did you see that Justin Bieber has pink eye and he's showing it off on Instagram? It's like, check it out. You guys got conjunctivitis. I'm like, yeah, be real proud of that. Singing Rich Boy, you got freaking poo in your eye is what happened. So dumb. Anyway,
Went to the 3D movies one too many times.
That's right. You get those glasses. You never know. Or you would put on somebody's...
My doctor doesn't like you, and he likes everybody.
Put on someone's PSVR at a party, and there you go. Okay, I'm going to say... You say I is pretty good. I'm going to say goo is coming out of my wound. Wound is my answer.
My wound.
Yeah. How'd we do?
Okay. The number one query response thingy, Mabob, is goo is coming out of pumpkin.
What?
Not even any pronouns in there.
Oh, you know why? No. People like those ones where pumpkins look like they're barfing, but it's just the guts of the pumpkin coming out of it. That's probably what it is. Because that's how simple and lame we are as a people. People are the worst. Here's the news. This hasty cramming in of the news is brought to you by
the Heck Yeah Comics Podcast. Join David and Nick as they find out what Batman and Flash discover when chasing the button and what it means for the DC Universe. They also discuss Guardians of the Galaxy 2, The Gifted, and more. Find it at heckyeahcomics.com or podcatchers.
Meaning on all the podcatchers, yeah.
I guess so, yeah. Look for Heck Yeah Comics and whatever podcatcher you use.
Remember we used to call them that all the time back in like 06, 07? They're podcatchers.
Your podcatcher.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did. I'm at the point now where I don't even want to call them podcasts anymore. We're gonna just,
no, I don't either.
Let's just call them shows.
Here's
a show. Hey, where do you get that show? Oh, it's the internet. It's just over here at this website. Go get that show. That's what you should do. We're done talking about podcasts.
I don't want netcasts. I don't want podcasts. Just call them shows.
Yeah.
There's shows you get on the internet,
but then
just like other shows.
But what would Todd do then? What would he call his awards? Would he call it
this podcast awards is so gay,
bad gay movies.
Okay, or
Bearded Fruit.
All right,
this show is so gay.
How about this one?
The Jizz Whiz.
Yep, that's what we're going with. The Jizz Whiz. All right.
I don't know if I want to call it a labor of love after this year.
Yeah. What are you calling it this year, Todd?
Yeah, because it's back in your hands this year.
Got an email yesterday with clarification on rules and stuff. Did I send you? I did send you that via text, didn't I? I think I did. Did you get that?
Yeah. And
it's fine, but every time they say that stuff, they're talking about us. Every time.
Of course. Of course. And really, technically, Scott, they're not talking about us. They're talking about the folks who support the Diamond Club, who worked out that ingenious program that put a little sidebar up in your browser and gave you suggestions of what shows to pick.
It's just always so the wording.
They're not talking about us.
The wording is so passive aggressive though. It's just like this year we're excited,
he's gotta say something.
It's good this year that everyone can have a fair chance, unlike last year when the Diamond Group and Frog Pants ate everyone's lunch. That's kind of what he's saying every time.
Oh, you're reading too much into it.
Listen, this is our role from here on out. I will continue to be irritated by it. You will continue to be an apologist for it, and I think that's fine. It's a yin and the yang.
I'm not an apologist, but I'm just over it. It's like, yeah, we did that. It happened, and whatever.
You're the yin, I'm the yang. I'm the Sith, you're the Jedi. We got to keep balance so that
I'm the Locke, you're the Jack.
Yes. It's time for the Jedi to end, as Luke Skywalker would say. And let's go see
bad gay movies.
Okay. Starring
Gilbert Gottfrieds.
All right. Moving on. Couple unknowingly drives onto the interstate with a drunk man on their trunk.
Ooh, drunk on the trunk.
Mm-hmm. Trunk. This really happened. A drunk man passed out on this dude's trunk. And then these people drove onto a Memphis interstate, a busy one, it turns out, and neither the drunk man nor the driver knew it was happening. I think the driver... Something's missing here. How do you not know?
How did he stick to the trunk? Because...
Yeah. Was he wearing, glasses with shielding on the side so he couldn't have any peripheral vision when he walked out to his car? Where was his... how did he get to his car? Does he crawl on the ground and slink up, open the door, and get in? How do you not see there's something on your trunk that's a full-grown man? I don't get it. Anyway, man crawled back there. That's only 14 inches wide. Again, that supports my point of what the hell. Somebody on the road spotted him. There's no way to describe it. It's unbelievable, said Carl Webb. They were leaving a barbecue fest Thursday in downtown Memphis. They had backed their car into a parking space. Oh, so the rear end of the car was hidden in this parking space, Brian. That's the deal.
Right. Okay.
It says, we came down the aisle, walked up to the car, opened it on both sides, and we got into the car. It was dark out, and they couldn't see what was on his trunk because it was back in the rear there. Mm-hmm. The officer came up and says, Mister, are you aware there's a body on your trunk? He says, I'm not messing with you. But then how do you not see him in your rear view or in the back window?
Right. The whole thing seems weird, but I mean, it was, you know, this is a legitimate news source. This is Fox 13 Memphis.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't doubt it, but I...
Do they have a photo of the trunk? Like, is there a...
maybe it's a truck. Maybe when they say trunk, they mean truck. He's back there in the bed of a truck.
I don't know. Everywhere they type it, it's trunk. Trunk.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Oh, look at that. There's... That is... Is that the photo?
Yeah, if you don't. Yeah, this how is.
Does,
if you don't
how
see
does
he that
not roll off?
Yeah, if you don't.
He had to be hooked into something.
This
yeah,
is
I don't.
A story almost too strange to be true. Look.
No, I'm gonna say it's too strange to be true.
No, almost about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say there's something fishy there. I'm sure it happened, but I think there's more to it. There's something going on there. There's no way that was like a little. It was a little compact car. There's nothing to that car.
There's nothing there. I mean, the only thing I can think of is if this guy's belt buckle was hooked into the.
Yeah. And maybe the driver was drunk and didn't pay attention, because I would have known if my Honda Civic had a full-grown man sleeping on the trunk. I guarantee it.
That's right.
And he would have fallen off, too. You're right about that. I may not have seen him fall
Taurus.
Off. That's stupid. I don't buy
it. They showed the guy who was the driver. He looks like he looks like Droopy Dog, or whoever the little
Droopy, yeah,
little
droopy.
White dog. Exit stage, or not exit stage left, but you know.
Yeah, I know who you mean. He looks like, dog that talks like he looks like the House congressional Senate leader. What's his name? Lindsey Graham looks like that dog. Anyway, right. Professional big game hunter died after an elephant fell on him in Zimbabwe.
Oh.
I'm trying to feel bad. It's kind of hard for me, because this is the risk to take. You know, if you're going to go fight if you're going to go fight giant nature things once in a
live
while.
Live by the elephant, die by the elephant. Yeah. Is what I always say.
This guy named Mr. Botha told a source, let's see, something with hunters. Botha was a pioneer of Montenegro hunting, in which packs of dogs are deployed to chase deer and boar towards hunters. This company recruits wealthy Americans to participate in the hunts. This guy's in charge of it. He's a highly regarded houndsman and recently led leopard and lion hunting safaris with his pack of dogs. But now he's not here. He has died because the elephant fell on him.
Fell on him. He shot it, fell on him, boom. Yeah,
that's the way it went. Let's see. Final story. Oh, you know what? I skipped the French fry lady. That's okay. We'll do her tomorrow.
Okay.
Pennsylvania woman.
Sure.
In the news. Made a dress from Starburst candy wrappers. That's kind of cool. Look at this chat room.
It is really cool. It's an amazing dress. 10,000 wrappers to make that.
Look at that. It's actually nice. It's a nice, nice dress.
Totally.
I mean, I wonder if she smells like all fruity when you're around her.
She probably does. She smells like a pack of Starburst fruit juice. I love it.
Yeah, but it's a really nice job. Like, I'm weirdly impressed by this.
Yeah, I mean, like, even where the colors change, it's not just like a hard line of like going right from the pink to the yellow. It's like a cool little stippling from one side to the other.
It says here that Sillhammer is her name. It's a great name.
I'm surprised she's not like,
what,
you know, kind of heavy from eating all the Starburst.
Well, I'm surprised she smiled and those teeth showed up. I thought they'd be just big gaping holes. Says she's an artist and an upcycler, they call them, Brian. Upcycling. It's where you take a thing that you would normally recycle, but you turn it into something else useful. That's upcycling, see?
Wow.
Yeah. So that would be like me and my adult diapers. I could make like a hammock out of them or something like that.
Right.
I don't have adult diapers, everybody.
Apparently her husband is the big fan of Starburst fruit chews. And so he kept giving her the wrappers. I guess he's eating the candies.
Oh, maybe he's the toothless grin now. Says he keeps giving her the candies. She once told him he wanted to make a dress, started bringing her wrappers, which she divided by their bright colors after a while. Oh, and it says no cavities resulted from making the dress. Well, it's because he ate them.
Right. No cavities on her.
Yeah, she's cute. Well done.
She is.
Nice job, people. Upcycling. What do you have you could upcycle, Brian? You got anything?
I have a bunch of little, the little claw machine guys from Toy Story. I need to figure out how to make something from all those.
Well, that's a great idea. What would you do?
I'm going to make a pair of boxers from all those,
I like
Toy Story claw machine guys.
I like it. That sounds great.
Let
us know how that DIY project goes for you.
Will do. Yes.
Going to take a break. When we come back, Steven with Major Spoilers, got some stuff to talk about in the nerd world. So that's coming up. But before that, I would like to, I don't know, hear a song, maybe?
You would? Well, I just happen to have one right here.
Holy crap.
This comes from a brand new album called The Glass Fields from a performer named Justin Willis. He used to, actually, he toured with Stone Roses, toured with In Spiral Carpets in 2010, but now he's headlining with his own mix of acoustic songs and his full band up and down the country in the UK. The producer is Gavin Monahan, who's worked with the editors, Robert Plant, and Ryan Adams. Good background on this guy. Vocally, I think he sounds a little bit like Phil Collins. Maybe you will think so as well. He's from Wolverhampton in the UK. His name is Justin Willis. The song is called Twilight, We're Apart.
Here it is. We'll be back in a minute.
Sing to me, fly with me, hold my hand like we did miles away. Should I stay alone for an evening? Is your life? Used to feel I was in your heart without doubt, without the fears that we're apart.
I get all the flavor in Carefree. Sugarless gum.
Get full flavor, get it all. The full flavor's Carefree. Feeling Carefree.
Feeling Carefree.
The Morning Stream.
Can you dig it?
We're back, everybody. What a cool little tune that was. I like
dreamy,
it.
Right? Dreamy, yep. Little song.
I'm a fan of that kind of thing. Makes me feel good inside.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, easing into a Monday, you don't want to just go in full force with some rock and roll right in the middle of a show. It's a Monday morning for some of us.
Yeah, for some
of
us.
It's a Monday afternoon for others.
For others, it's lunchtime. Well, after lunchtime, I guess. What time is it now in East Coast? Let's see, 11, 12.
It'd be 1:05.
I almost said it's 13 o'clock. What's wrong with me?
Well, you know, it's 1:05. Military time, sure.
That's what I meant. Anyway. Welcome back, everybody. We're here. We're doing it.
Yes. Hey, can I throw out a quick plug?
Always.
Because I got something really, really cool over the weekend from, let me get the name right here. It's Jekyll 614, specifically Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
God, I want to find it. Vag Baggins and the Tadpool, Kyle Everett. Basically, his fiance Jessica did a really cool drawing of me in Pokemon World with a bunch of my favorite Pokemon around me and Gengar stealing the famous hat and running away with it.
Oh yeah, I saw this, and you're wearing your blue tux and everything.
I'm wearing the blue tux from the thing, right? So if you want to check her out online, her Twitter is R-E-I-H-Y-O-U. You can find a lot of her artwork there, and really, really cool. And the good news is she also sent a Blissey to Tina, but she also sent something for you that I need to send you. So look for that coming from me really soon.
Okay, I'll watch for that. I just live right across the mountains there, so it'll come right over to me.
I'll just tape it to a paper airplane and fly it your way. Whee!
I shouldn't say this. Well, you know what? I'll say it without saying his name because I don't know if he wants to be called out or not, but somebody, a very generous, awesome Tadpooler, sent me NES Classic.
No way. So you got one of those?
Was not expecting that. Cool. It's been the highlight of everyone's day, two weeks since I got it or whatever. I keep forgetting to bring it up, but it's because I didn't know if he wanted me to say. But if he does, let me know and I'll say your name. But it was the nicest thing ever. And balloon fight
as
still.
As hard as those things are to get a hold of, man. And we'll get progressively harder now.
Yep. In fact, you know, if anything ever happens, I need to get a leg chopped off or something. I can always sell it on eBay for tons of money. So,
you totally
so
could,
there you go. Hey, look at this. Joining us from the far-off land of Kansas, which has been heavy on my mind, because Kansas City's always involved in these Fargo storylines for some reason.
Right, it's not too far away.
The Kansas City Mafia is always all up in that Fargo show. Anyway, it's Steven Schleicher, everybody. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Here you are, talking nerd stuff, hanging out with us. Always a good time. Steven comes on here, talks about the world of major spoilers. We don't really spoil anything major, but we talk about what's going on in the, I don't know, nerd culture of our lives. Yeah. And I saw a picture that looked like Black Lightning the other day, and I thought, well, that's a goofy costume. Turns out it was real, and Black Lightning gets a spring 2018 release, and I still think his costume is weird. So
the costume, actually, if you get a chance, head over to Major Spoilers. There's the trailer that they showed at the CW upfronts last week.
Yeah.
And it does look kind of silly in that main photo, that the publicity photo that everyone sees. But when you see it in action, it actually looks really kind of good.
Yeah.
And I'm digging it. This stars Chris Williams. The interesting things, there's two interesting things about it. First of all, they're not debuting it in the fall. It will be a mid-season show, just like they do with iZombie and some of those other shows that they do at the CW.
Yeah.
The other thing that is really interesting and really surprising and maybe a bit disappointing is the creators have said that, no, this will not be part of the Arrowverse. This won't reside in the same universe that Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and the DC's Legends of Tomorrow reside in, which I think is kind of a wasted potential. And the reason that they're giving it,
opportunity. Yeah.
The reason that they're giving is because Black Lightning is shooting in Atlanta and everything else shoots up in Vancouver. And they're saying just the logistics would be too hard. Now, just because it takes place in the same universe doesn't mean that they have to shoot in the same location. And I think they're worried that if they did a big multi-part crossover like they did with the Invasion storyline, that they would expect to draw that one in as well. And I say no. I say that you can have somebody taking having their actions and story place take place in the East Coast, and everything else in the Arrowverse takes place on the West Coast, and it's just too far for someone to travel.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, and it basically burns a bridge you don't need to burn, right? You can say, all right, exactly. Yeah, this takes place in the same universe. We're not going to have any crossovers for a while until something works out, but at least if they leave that door open, they can do whatever they want when the time comes.
I'm going to bet that if this show does well in the first season, that mysteriously he will be part of the CW universe. Right.
Now, is this Berlanti? Is Greg Berlanti involved in this?
Their production company is involved in it, but it's not Berlanti meddling with it like he does with all the other shows.
He's meddling with it. So let me ask you a question. It shows him as is he a principal in the comics as well? Like a school principal?
Black Lightning?
Yeah.
In the comics, at least in the early days, I don't know where he's at now, he was just a high school science teacher, I believe, at one point.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I still don't know how I feel about this costume. I'm watching the video trailer thing now, and it's okay. It's fine.
It's pretty cool.
It's fine. It's fine. He's all blue and, you know, whatever.
It's not I don't think it's designed by the same person who designed the Flash and Arrow costumes.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Yeah, you'd think all those guys would just work together till the end of time.
You would think, but who knows?
Imagine if your principal just went nuts and started electrifying everybody. That's nuts, man.
That is nuts.
Walks like thunder, it says. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we'll watch and see how that turns out. Now let's talk about the doomsday clock ticking. Uh-oh. What does that mean?
So ever since Rebirth started, this is the DC event that started about a year ago, or exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
There was this implication that Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen had created this new DC universe and was meddling, and there were a bunch of other characters potentially from the Watchmen universe that were also meddling behind the scenes. Flash and Batman were investigating it. That just wrapped up last week with Flash number 22. That's the Button storyline. And in November, Geoff Johns is going to finally have Superman and Dr. Manhattan meet face to face in this what appears to be a one shot called the Doomsday Clock.
Wow.
And we don't really know too much about what's going on, but I think there could be some really good potential in this.
Do you think we get blue wiener or no?
I think we'll get naked wiener man.
Okay. Because that was always a Watchmen thing, but then sometimes he'd wear the little panty things.
Yeah, the little black, yeah. He might.
All right.
We'll have to see. I bet if they, here's the thing, they could have, see, Watchmen was very reflective on the industry and the cynicism of everything that was going on with superheroes at the time, and of course, that spilled in and made everything dark and dreary and everyone kind of being down on some of the directions that DC has gone over the years. Superman, though, has always been a bright point of light. So you could really have a good, if done right, you could have a good conversation about comics and pessimism and optimism with, you know, Dr. Manhattan and Superman each taking one of those sides.
Yeah.
And just have this really cool introspective look of why does a universe have to be dark? Why can't it be light? Why can't we make it happier? And in the process, bring back a lot of the Silver Age things that Geoff Johns really, really likes.
Right.
My guess is this is going to be 42 pages of punching each other in the face and trying to avoid Blue Wiener.
Yeah. I'm guessing Alan Moore is thrilled about this, right? He's stoked.
God.
Yeah.
I think he probably has a alert that just sends anything that has the title Watchmen in it directly to his trash
bin. The problem with his alerts and his alarms is they're nestled in that beard somewhere, and they're really hard to find and turn off.
With 13 other birds.
Yeah.
How has all this stuff been without Alan Moore's involvement? I haven't read any of the things, stories.
So the before Watchmen stuff, everyone really, really hated it because it was telling stories that no one needed to know. And, you know, well, why? We don't care about this stuff. Mm. This is something, and the reason why this particular story could be interesting and the things that were going on with this mysterious Oz that's been floating around, and everyone speculates it's Ozymandias floating around in the Superman comics, is that these are new stories. This is something that's coming after all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that is what I think gets a lot of people interested in this, because it's not, you know, we don't have to know what went on before. We want to see what's going to happen after.
Yeah, I watched Alien Covenant with along with Brian over the weekend, and what's it? Billy Crudup's in it, and he played Dr. Manhattan in the movie version of Watchmen.
Right.
And the entire time in this movie, I'm not kidding either, I kept bumping Kim going, he had his wiener mo-capped for Watchmen. That was his wiener that you saw. Because if you remember, we got a lot of giant
blue
wiener. That
had to make the movie-going experience just so joyous.
It really did. Right. But boy, was he stupid in this movie, brain-wise. Anyway, hey, there's that. So watch for that. I mean, I'm all for them being part of the universe. I don't have a problem with it. I know Alan Moore freaks out, and I get it. And I understand how people think there's a, you know, that that is one of the most special comics ever. And it is. There's no question about it. That thing deserves its place as one of the all-time great things ever in comics. But
well, I think Alan Moore is mostly upset because of, not because that the book had become super popular and everything, but that DC had said, hey, as soon as this book goes out of print, the rights will revert back to you. And they've always kept the book in print all these years just so the rights don't revert back.
It's like Fox and it's like Fox and Sony. They have to keep making the movies or for Marvel stuff or else they lose it.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe this one will fail and be bad and they won't care anymore. I don't know. What would Alan Moore do with it? What would he do? Make Watchmen, new comics?
Well, he could make new comics if he wanted to, or he could make more money off. Of course, anytime DC sends him a check, he just tears it up. But you got to remember that Watchmen, just as a trade paperback, before that movie came out, was selling 1 million copies a year, which is quite a bit. When the movie was first announced all those years ago, instantly those trade paperback sales went up to $3 million a year.
Hmm.
So there's still a lot of money to be made from Watchmen. So I don't think that we'll see DC get rid of them anytime soon.
And if they
become part of the DC universe, it becomes even harder to get those rights back to Moore and to Steve Gibbons.
So if Alan Moore tears up every DC check he gets, cash it and give it to charity or something, you weirdo. Like, I get why it's a principled thing for him, and I understand that, but don't just throw money away.
There could be a legal thing as well, and I'm not a lawyer, so don't take this on grounds, but it used to be, back in the early days of comics creating, this was especially true over at Marvel, and how a lot of creators got screwed out of it, is if you signed your check, it was, you know, basically it was admitting that you did this work and that all the work belonged to Marvel.
Okay.
And so there could be a reason for him that, but I think the reason why he's tearing him up is just out of spite.
Okay, well, yeah, he should stop doing that. I think that's dumb. He should shave that beard too. I'll bet there's weird stuff in there.
There's got to be some bad stuff growing in.
Look at him most recently. He's looking mighty, mighty old.
Oh, yeah.
You can find some recent stuff that his daughter has taken pictures of. And I think he still runs a blog or a website where he posts stuff on a regular basis. He's looking mighty old.
So is he writing anything anymore? Do we get any new work out of him?
He still does a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but at one point he was doing some stuff for some indie comic, and I think he was recently doing something with 2000 AD for their big celebration. So,
Judge Dredd deal. Wow. Yeah.
I love his, I mean, he's a genius, so more please. It'd be great.
Yeah, his whole tenure on Swamp Thing was the best.
Oh my gosh, that I have the hardbound version
of the best comics I'd ever read.
I have the hardbound version next to my bed, and I keep it there just in case I feel like rereading it all the time, because I love that run. It's so good. His Daredevil also. Yeah. That was Frank Miller. Sorry. That Frank Miller Daredevil is real good, too, by the way.
That one is really good, too. Yeah. I'm double checking. It says Alan Moore confirms he's retiring from comic books. This was just a couple of months ago, so he can focus on film and regular book work. So.
Film, eh? Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. This is the
tale. He's got some really cool things that I think would be great as movies.
Yeah. The Tale of the Disheveled Beard Man, who lives in a cave and is pissed at everyone all the time. Mace Windu's back. That's a real thing. That's happening. Tell us about that. What's going on there?
Yeah, kind of tagging on to the stories that maybe no one wants to know. If you're a Mace Windu fan, this is great news because you're going to get more tales of Mace Windu. And this takes place during the, you know, after the first episode one movie.
Yeah.
And it's just telling him going into battle. That's all we know about it right now. Mm. But he's going to grace the comic book pages again.
Do we feel, I mean, where's your head on that? Do you think he's tales worth telling? You don't care?
Rogue One was an interesting movie, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
But you knew everything about Rogue One by watching the opening crawl of Episode 4.
Yeah, this is true.
This is one of those moments.
Oh, this is some serious.
This is not, how did Mace Windu become a badass Jedi? This is, hey, this is after episode one and everyone likes Mace Windu. Now he's going to go out and fight some droids from the droid army.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen when they issue Order 66. So there you go.
So
it's kind of just a real throwaway story. Jeez.
Yeah.
I personally think so, but I know that there's a lot of Star Wars and Mace Windu fans out there that really want to jump all over this, because really Mace Windu is a great character that they did nothing with.
Yeah, it could lead to more stuff too, you know.
They could
do more. Yeah. Also, it's as Samuel L. Jackson as you get. Like, this art is they're not trying to make a more vague, you know, it's full resemblance. So
oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you want to get your your Lucius in there, you're going to get it. What else? Oh, hey, Will Eisner. He does The Spirit, you know.
Well, he did a long time ago,
but
before he died.
But you got a good recommendation here. What's this?
Yeah, so if you are a fan of Will Eisner's The Spirit. Now, The Spirit was one of these early newspaper comics that was very dark, very noir, had this, you know, the masked vigilante character going out and doing things. And over the years, it has passed through a number of different properties, DC included. And most recently, it is under the control of Dynamite Entertainment. And they've done some really cool stories. But the new story that they have going on right now, Will Eisner's The Spirit, the Corpse Makers series, is written and drawn by Francesco Francavilla. And he's we've followed him at Major Spoilers for years. I don't, you know, consider him like a close personal friend or anything like that, but we're very friendly with one another. And his art is fantastic and spectacular. And if you want to read the first two issues of The Corpse Makers, has been out of this world. And the third issue arrives this week. Go check it out. It's Will Eisner's The Spirit, The Corpse Makers. It's out by Dynamite Entertainment. If you go do a look for just Francesco Francavilla art, you'll see how wonderful it is. He works in a very limited palette, Scott, so that may be something that you might be interested in. So
yeah,
in The Corpse Makers, it's a lot of purples and blues with just hints of yellow because there's something having to do with reviving spirits or who's stealing these corpses off the street. And the formula is yellow. So when anytime you see yellow pop out, it sometimes reminds you that something bad is about to happen.
I really like that. That's really awesome. Good. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the screens here. The I like a monochromatic color palette. I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's how he mostly works. Most of the time it's red and blue that he works with. Mm-hmm. But he's been expanding into some other stuff as well. And if you enjoy, he also did all the art on Afterlife with Archie, which is the zombie book. So like that,
I loved that.
Then you'll enjoy this as well.
Same thing with that. That was a lot of reds and yellows, and almost all that, except once in a while, it'd be dark. But reds, yellows, and blacks. That's now you got me more excited. I didn't realize that was the same guy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should at least mention this Venom news.
Sure. So Sony announced via their Twitter. Last week on Friday, that Tom Hardy has been cast as Venom in the upcoming Venom movie. Now, they are still working on final signatures for directors and everything, but this is not the first time that Sony has wanted to do a villains movie, right? So after the Spider-Man 4, they wanted to do a Venom movie, and that got thrown into the toilet pretty quick. And then after The Amazing Spider-Man 2, they wanted to do a Sinister 6 movie. That kind of fell through. So now I think they're back to working on Venom, and they've tapped Tom Hardy, many of you may know as Bane from The Dark Knight Rises, as Venom.
Yeah. I mean, I know him from a more important film of the last 10 years titled Mad Max Fury Road, but I understand where you're coming from.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not get people to fill up their bingo cards today.
So. I could fill you in. But anyway, it's very exciting news, not just because it's Tom Hardy. The reason this excites me is it seems like if you got Tom Hardy, you're taking this seriously. Like, this isn't just some throwaway casting. This isn't just, hey, that guy would...
He's going to deliver it fully.
Yeah. Plus, he's expensive. You don't just get Tom Hardy for free. Like, the guy's got... he's a very in-demand actor, so getting him to do this strikes me as a real... you know, this is them saying, yeah, for real, we're going to go for this and make this something special. And hopefully it's rated R. That's what I really hope.
So the duo that were working on the Venom script after Spider-Man 3, or maybe it was they were working on the Sinister 6 film after Amazing Spider-Man 2, they've already completed the script. So the script is done.
Yeah.
And I think they're just waiting for a director and then to go into production. But this movie is going to open in 17 months. This movie opens on October 5th, 2018, which is I consider in a film like this a super fast turnaround time, especially when you consider that something like the Justice League movie that's coming out has been in production for like 2 years.
Yeah. Lots of reshoots and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you subscribe to this theory at all that the Life movie that came out with Gyllenhaal and Deadpool and all those guys, that's a Venom prequel, and it's just a thinly veiled Venom prequel?
Cloverfield prequel.
Yeah. Oh, see, the speculation was that Life was actually a Venom prequel, and it was Sony Pictures, is it? So there was some thinking that they could lead right into it.
I didn't get that. I think the Cloverfield.
Yeah, the directors.
Did you see it, Steven?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I want
it. It looked too much like Alien.
Yeah, but I like that. I want more of that. I'm cool with that. I want to see it. I don't know. It was one of those things where I'm like, that will be on video at some point, so I'll just do that. But
yes, it will.
You think Carnage ever happens? You think if Venom's successful, we get a Carnage movie? No.
No. I mean, that's so far down the line. I mean, if Venom is successful, suddenly people are going to go, a red Venom? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dumb. So the Carnage, even though that would be your like hard R, like borderline NC-17 kind of story.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be quite happy with Venom. And if it works, then you'll see sequels to Venom. You will see a, you know, Dr. Octopus movie, I'm sure. You will, you know, I don't know if you ever get a Vulture movie. But, you know, they have some plans to work into a Sinister Six kind of franchise. And I think the movie that is coming up that they're also working on right now is a Black Cat movie.
Black
and that
Cat.
Would be fun too, because that would be like total heist kind of fun times.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Cat burglar, thief, stealth kind of thing. That could be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carnage is kind of gnarly, isn't it?
Oh yeah. He's Venom to the next extreme.
Yeah.
And plus unless you get the special effects on that just right, it's going to look really dorky.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I'm worried about with this October 5th, 2018 release of Venom is, unless they're recycling a lot of the processes that they've used before in Venom, they've got a lot of special effects work to work on.
Oh, big time. Yeah. He needs to be all drippy and goopy and like tar spreading around and stuff. Like, you've got to have all that, or else what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and Carnage would be even harder. I think they could do it, though. They'll pull it off. The new CGI parts of this Alien Covenant thing, spot on. I mean, really nice. They had some practicals as well, but really impressed me. There's
really good.
You know those moments in any of the good Alien movies, or any of the Alien movies really, where there's a shot of, uh-oh, there's one behind us, and you turn around and it's like shaking with fury and its lips are just starting
dripping.
And this one's got a slobber problem, right, Brian? Like, man.
Big time slobber problem.
Then you got a pill for that or something. It's real bad. Anyway, I'm very excited about Venom and Tom Hardy and all that. He's great. Yeah. He's good, and I'll watch him. And I'd watch him read a phone book, really. If you want the truth, have a man crush on him. Anyway, that's going to do it with Steven. It's always a pleasure, man. Tell people where they can find more of your fine work.
Hey, head over to majorspoilers.com or on Twitter at majorspoilers. And this afternoon, be on the lookout for the DC Comics solicitations. If you're a Jack Kirby fan, there's some stuff coming up in August that you will want to check out.
Also, killer appearance on Current Geek this week. Well done last weekend.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was awesome having you on there. And even more stuff from Steven there. So guys, check that out if you get a chance. Steven, take it easy and stay out of trouble, will you?
Bye, guys.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye now. Can't hang up on him. Oh, there we go. Hey, Brian, let's close it out.
Well, okay. All right.
You do the till.
You do that.
I'll sweep the floors. Somebody gets the counters, and we'll close down the shop.
That means I have to count up all the receipts. Yep.
You do, but you could slip a little fiber in your pants while no one's looking.
Never. Never.
Good, good. Anyway, thanks everybody for being here with us. If you'd like to support the show, speaking of support, you can go to patreon.com/TMS. Like I said, there are a lot of great rewards there, including collectible cards and prints and stuff that you can only get through that method. It is custom art every month, all the time. In fact, it's about this time of the month I panic because I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta hurry up and get some stuff done. But I'm already done. It's already out. You get avatars, all kinds of stuff. So go check that out, patreon.com/TMS. Our show is live every day right here at frogpants.tv. So please, if you were thinking to yourself, man, I'd like to go live someday, that's when we do it, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, every weekday except Fridays at frogpants.com or frogpants.tv. So just go there. Frogpants.com/TMS is the link where everything else can be found. The only thing left to do is to play a song, because that's how we roll. Brian, what do you got?
I have a song in my heart that I will play for you now. This is what we were going to play this Friday, but then the whole Chris Cornell, or Thursday, but the whole Chris Cornell thing kind of shifted stuff down a little bit. Mm. Jamie wrote in, said, my birthday is on May 19th, and since that falls on a Friday, either the morning edition or PM edition would work. The last time I requested something was Smile by the Idea of North about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm in a lot better place than I was back then, emotionally and physically, though there are times I still have issues. The morning stream is always there to make me laugh and put a smile on my face. Thank you guys for what you do. I don't know what I'm going to do, when or if you guys ever end the show. Well, don't worry about that. It's never going to end this thing.
It's next Wednesday, but don't worry about it. It's fine.
But we'll do a lot of great shows between now and then.
It's totally fine.
Let's see. There are so many covers to choose from. Find it hard to choose. He gave me three choices. Hope you two and the listeners have an awesome weekend. Signed, Jamie Giacomi.
Aww.
Well, I'm so happy to play this for you. And this was your first choice. I've never played this on the show before, so I'm really excited to play this. What's really cool is it's got a cover of a very obvious song in there, Dream a Little Dream by Ozzie Nelson and the Mamas and the Papas. But the very beginning of the song features the instrumental piece, and I can't remember what it's. Is it Vivaldi? Somebody in the chat room is going to be able to tell me what this is. But let's start with this. It's Pink Martini and the Von Trapps from the album Dream a Little Dream from 2014. It is Dream a Little Dream.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And don't forget, maybe tomorrow. I don't know when it'll be, but I'm going to get this played right here. This thing.
Oh, yeah. You got to throw that in there.
Oh, see, that's just a taste. You don't know what you're in for until you hear that damn mashup.
Plan on that for tomorrow's closing song.
Oh, excellent. All right. Now I'm excited. I might have peed a little. All right. Here goes. It's Dream a Little Dream. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.